Welcome to the Busy Gamer Podcast for the week of August 22nd, 2010, providing a weekly summary of news and views from BusyGamerNews.com. We're a gaming site for people too busy for gaming sites.
We're taking a week off from the site and the podcast, so we have...
the next 2 weeks' releases!
On August 24th, Mafia 2 for PC, PS3, and Xbox 360, Martian Panic and NHL 2K11 for Wii, Grease and Ivy the Kiwi for DS and Wii, and Harvest Moon Grand Bazaar for DS.
On August 31st, there's Metroid Other M and Guilty Party for Wii, Valkyria Chronicles 2 for PSP, and Battlefield Bad Company 2 Ultimate Edition for PS3 and Xbox 360.
This is the latest game release information we have. A more thorough summary will be posted when we resume site updates on August 30th.
Last week's releases.
Kane and Lynch 2 Dog Days for PC, PS3, and Xbox 360.
City of Heroes Going Rogue Complete Collection for Mac and PC.
YS7 Limited Edition for PSP.
Gold's Gym Dance Workout for Wii.
And for iPhone and iPad, there's Chaos Rings for iPad, Ghosts and Goblins Gold Knights 2, The Incident, I Shoot 2, Love Battle Princess, and Slingo Supreme. For more complete listing of recent releases, please check our August 16th roundup on the site.
Giveaways.
Each week, we launch a giveaway we call Free Stuff Friday, though you normally have nearly a week to enter.
This week, you have almost 2 weeks. Since we're taking a week off on the site, we won't draw a winner next week. You'll have until Tuesday, August 31st. Want to know what you're playing for?
A little something we're calling PAX Poster Palooza. We have 14 prizes, most are posters from PAX 2009, including some donated by Ballard Girl 1.
There's a giant signed Dungeons & Dragons online poster, a Borderlands poster, 4 kick-ass movie posters, Wet, Explosion Man, Scrap Metal, Warhammer Online, and more. There are some pictures on our site and even more in our Facebook fan page photo gallery.
Get up to 4 chances to win one or more of these prizes by posting a comment, reviewing one or both of our podcasts on iTunes, and tweeting about the giveaway. Find the details on our site and be sure to enter by 5 p.m. Pacific on Tuesday, August 31st.
Last week's winners.
Big and Tasty won Burnout Revenge for Xbox 360.
Onyx Primal took Dark Messiah of Might and Magic for PC.
Angel will soon be playing Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix for PS3.
And Bitlooter gets the Bikini Zombie Slayers game donated by E. Goldfish. If you're interested in what songs appear in upcoming music games, on August 18th we posted the full confirmed set list for Guitar Hero, Warriors of Rock, and Just Dance 2. Of course, you probably want to know about Rock Band 3, and so would we. I'm frankly a bit annoyed with the Harmonix community team right now. They've been tweeting out hints and guesses for small groups of tracks that will be in the game. I actually had to unfollow them during Comic-Con. They kept flooding my timeline. Hey guys, let me know when you're ready to confirm the full Rock Band 3 track list, and we'll post it. Okay. So less than a day after we recorded the podcast, Harmonix pulled a funny little stunt at a German video game expo. They released an internet video where they claimed to dispel a rumored track list.
You should know, it's not confirmed news.
All the while they scrolled through the full track list on a screen in the background.
We are communications professionals. We would never make a mistake and accidentally leak 83 songs well before our game comes out. Totally by accident because we weren't paying attention.
So now you can get the full Rock Band 3 list in our August 20th post. You can also watch the full video there.
We firmed up our Xbox Live community play date. It's official. We'll be playing the racing game Blur on Wednesday, September 1st with anyone who has the game, Xbox Live Gold, and wants to join us. We're estimating about 10 people, but we could support up to 20 in one game. So borrow or rent a copy if you can, and join in the fun starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
We're all about the fun and a lot less goal-oriented than probably most gaming communities. But the great thing about Blur is that everyone has a shot to grab and use a power-up and blow their opponents off the track. Win, lose, whatever. Blur is about blowing off steam and blowing stuff up.
Comment of the week.
DEA Vamp wrote this review on iTunes for the Best of Busy Gamer podcast.
Good for gamers that want to get the review and get back to gaming ASAP. Just listen to the Blur review to help me decide whether or not to get it for the community game night coming up soon with you guys. Seems pretty good. I'm gonna try to purchase it.
Spoiler warning, we're gonna pick it apart. Open it up to 5.
about game finished Operation Little Sister? Her dress is complete, and she selected makeup and has most of her accessories in order. We've documented the process both in articles on our site and audio diaries. Here are highlights from part two of the process, which starts with a little button shopping.
So I brought one of the buttons from the dress that I ripped off so I can compare size. So what I'm looking for is a button that's about the size of your thumbnail. It needs to be flat. I like something a little bit stylized, a little bit ornate, but I want it to fit into the buttonholes that I already have so I don't have to do any more work on it. I've got kind of a weird color thing going on, but they're... I like the way they're a little different, a little weird. And they're still thinner than these, though. The thing is, if this is what's holding the dress closed, I need it to be pretty small.
Oh, at least that thick, right? Maybe thicker.
Yeah, those look thicker until I actually got a hold of them. However, these are cute and stylized.
And they're thick.
They're thick. They have little flower, kind of steampunky flowers on them.
Yeah, that'll work.
Which would be very childlike. I think these are going to work. I am in the process of sewing the pinafore onto the dress. I've cut several key parts of the pinafore off, including the shoulders. I kept the belt, the part that wraps around, attached to the pinafore. I'm going to use that to help attach it to me. So what I'm doing now is I'm sewing the upper part of the pinafore to the dress, and I'm using a sewing machine. It's a Singer Confidence. This is a mid-range, more power than you really need if you're just a casual sewer, but what I like about it is it has many fancy stitches built into it, and I am using a very basic zigzag pattern to give it a little more zing.
So why sew the pinafore to the dress? It was originally intended to be worn off of it.
Well, the design of the Little Sister costume does not have shoulders on the pinafore. If you look carefully at it, you'll see that the pinafore is attached to their outfits. And it's implied by the design that it's attached with buttons. And I'm going to attach buttons to mine as well, but it's going to be purely for decoration. It's not going to be holded in place. Ow. I just stabbed myself with my own pins. Yeah, I'm going to do just a very quick stitch across the top. And that is sewn on. So I still have some cleanup to do. I have some loose threads, and I need to take the pins out and put them back. But for the most part, that is all I'm going to do. I do need to try it on now and see how it fits. And based on that, I may end up ripping everything out and doing it over, or I may just move on to the collar. So I am making a pattern for the collar. I'm using the piece of collar that I removed from the original Alice in Wonderland costume, which I kept in one piece. And in this case, it happens to be a piece that was dyed, but that's not important. I'm going to create a new pattern based on this piece. And I have, for this part of my project, the pins that I've been using all along to pin the project. And I'm using a pattern board that I just bought today. And that basically gives you a nice piece of cardboard that you can push pins into. In this case, I'm pinning down the collar. And I don't have pattern paper, which is really just butcher paper. And I didn't want to invest in it because I'm not going to be doing a lot of patterning for this project. So I've taken an ad from the Sunday paper. It's a two large pieces all put into one, so I have enough room to get the entire collar in here. I wouldn't use an actual piece of the newspaper because newsprint will get all over your material and can be very hard to get out. I'm just pinning all around the outer edges, straight down, up and down, with the pin going down. First layer is the collar. Second layer is the paper that's going to become my pattern. Third layer is my board. So I finished pinning it to the board. Next, I have a mechanical pencil, and I have my sewing and knitting gauge, which is a long, flat metal item with a little guide to show you exactly how far off you are. I'm moving my tool, my little guide, around the collar and using it to mark evenly. All right, we have the pattern ready to cut out. So now I'm going to go back and pull all the pins out that I've painstakingly put in there. And now I'm ready to cut. When you're cutting out a pattern, it's best to start by cutting out large swatches around it without actually going anywhere near the pattern itself, so you can get in on that detail. Now I'm using my small Fiskars, which are slightly bigger than what your kids would use at school, to cut the actual pattern itself. And this is to give me a little more control and make smaller cuts. Because with patterns, you can't just go back and redo it. If you mess it up, you pretty much have to start over. So I have a really big, rough pattern right now. I'm going to put my collar back down on top of it and see if it looks like it came out about right. A few places where it's not quite there. Yep, we have about an inch all around, so this will work. Now comes the moment of truth. I'm going to put down some lace and cut the actual collar. I'm pinning the pattern onto the lace, just like I previously pinned my collar onto the paper. And again, I'm using a lot of pieces. I fully expect that some of these pins are not going anywhere near the lace. I'm tracing the pattern onto the lace now with a washable blue ink. So first I'm going to cut the two patterns into two separate pieces of lace. Right now they're one giant piece of lace. And I am using my big scissors for those. I have the detail scissors out. I'm going to cut along the blue line that I created. And we'll see if we have collar piece when this is over. So I just did a quick drape. The lace actually looks really nice with the color. It's also time to take a look at the buttons. They're a little antique looking. They've got kind of a faux diamond crystal in the middle. And I think they'll match really, really nicely. So now I need to hand sew them onto my dress. And you can see when I removed the buttons that were on the dress originally, I didn't pull off the threads. This created an instant guide for me to show exactly where the new buttons are going to go, which is a lot easier than trying to figure it out for yourself. I also have larger buttons in the exact same style that are going to go on the front of the dress. These I am going to have to measure where I'm going to put them. Now, before I put the ones on the front, I'm going to pin these and put the dress on to make sure I'm not going to have any accidental obscenity. So we are at Display and Costume in Seattle looking at makeup. My main thing is that since the little sisters have been undersea their entire lives, they're going to be fairly pale. And I have a little bit of a tan from the summer, so I want to try and bring that down. And also they have fine lines on their face and some of the artwork, so I'm looking for makeup that I can use to recreate that. What I really want is a makeup that's going to be fairly lightweight, not a heavy theatrical makeup, and a makeup that's also going to be pretty fast, because I think I'll probably at least one day be getting dressed at PAX. The hard part is, how does it react to me? I'm going to try the off-white and see how that does. So what I'm doing is I'm putting it on my forearm. It's just a tiny dab, and I'm really wiping it pretty extreme onto my skin, because what I don't want is the appearance that there's makeup on there. The other thing is I have very sensitive skin, so it's nice to know whether or not I'm going to have an allergic reaction to it. The makeup itself is actually causing me to break out, so that's a no.
So let's move away from that brand, I would assume. Girl Got Game almost never wears makeup, so this was somewhat uncharted territory. After recovering from the mild allergic reaction to makeup that's heavy in mineral oil, a helpful employee offers some great insights and advice.
It definitely was not a peanut reaction, because there was enough on here that you'd be calling 911, but I'm getting like little red dots on my skin here, so...
Well, so have you ever had a problem with baby oil?
Yes.
Okay, most all makeup contains mineral oil.
Yeah.
If you look on the back, paraffinum liquidum or mineral oil... are going to be the things that are going to...
Kind of watch for.
Yeah. Now, anything creamy is going to have more of it than the other thing.
How about...
dry and liquid makeup frequently is going to be water-based and have a lot less...
He steers her to the Paradise powdered makeup, which you mix with water and can blend with other colors to get just the shade you want.
These are small because they don't have any water in them.
Oh, okay.
The pre-mixed ones... are big because most of it's water. It's kind of like the Kool-Aid principle.
Okay.
One of these will do like a body head to toe.
Really?
Yeah. So it smells really good because it's got avocado oil and cocoa butter.
Nice.
But that's what they use for oil in this, so that you don't have to deal with mineral oil. Because mineral oil does give some people problems, and in your case, we're trying to avoid it completely.
How would it stand up to sweating? Because I'm going to be walking around downtown in late August.
It'll probably do pretty well. I mean, if you wanted, you could put a top coat on it. Top coats that we sell are acrylic. Both the barrier spray from Meron and the final seal from Ben Nye are acrylic copolymers in aqueous solution, so plastic in water and alcohol.
Okay.
But what that does is, when used as a top coat, it provides an additional deterrent to rain. And when used as an undercoat, it provides an additional deterrent to perspiration. Mm-hmm. Barrier spray is called barrier spray because it'll provide a barrier between you and what
and
you're putting
else.
On.
Your
so
costume.
You can put on any kind of makeup if you put the barrier spray on first. Having it on first helps protect you from anything that might be an irritant, and also keeps the colors from leaching into your skin. That yellows and reds and greens are a particular problem. Okay, so that's what I recall the sisters looking like.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, the light blue is a really good eerie look.
Yeah, this was more kind of what I was thinking, is like a very light pale bluish tint.
And
like,
remember, on your skin, it's especially if you
different.
Do it thin, it's gonna be layered. The color is gonna reflect your base color, and then the colors you put on top of it.
So you put the white down first and then add a little bit of color to it? Is that?
Yeah, sure. That's a good way to go. What are you doing for your props, for your hypo?
I have a Big Daddy doll that I got from Entertainment Earth. And then I bought a gerbil feeder, a little water bottle, from a friend of mine at her garage sale earlier this summer.
Right.
And I've been staring at it all summer going, it's basically a hypo. I just need to stick a needle on it and
a plunger,
change
maybe?
It. I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to do.
Right.
So I'm whip stitching a hem into the costume, which is a very rough, fake way of creating a hem. The color ended up being more of a gray than the purple. It's definitely not the purple or the wine that I was going for, but I'm happy with it. I think it's pretty. And I did not dye the lace in the end. The lace was just coming out way too pink, and especially given the color that the dress ended up being after I finished dyeing it over and over. And I think just a plain white lace collar is fine. I hand sewed the buttons on, and they look really great. They're from Spain, and I think the buttons are what really made the costume for me. They're this kind of otherworldly antiquing look, but they're not steampunk by any means. But they look like the kind of button that someone might put on a kind of girly girl dress back in the period.
We hope you've enjoyed Operation Little Sister, our cosplay journey in two parts. You can find detailed articles on our site, posted August 4th and August 19th, and a gallery of pictures on our Facebook fan page. There are longer versions of the Operation Little Sister audio diaries, 30 minutes apiece, with many more tips and details on specific techniques, linked from our show notes and in our Best of Busy Gamer podcast feed. What we're playing.
So Pika and the Chews, Pikachu fans' personal band, finished up Lego Rock Band last week. Was quite delighted, although I don't know how long we're going to have to listen to the final countdown before he finally decides to obsess on some other song.
It's the final countdown!
And might I say, I really long for the days of Monster, because I actually like that song. So Pikachu fan, what's that coming over the hill?
3, 2, 1, it's the final countdown!
We also went to see Scott Pilgrim Saves the World last week, which technically isn't a game, but it really is.
What are you doing?
Getting a life.
If you haven't seen it, you ought to check it out. It's pretty true to the comic. It's very well done, and it's definitely aimed at people who were around in the 70s and the 80s. It's not at all just for kids.
Well, I really enjoy Scott Pilgrim quite a bit, and I look forward to finishing the graphic novels and picking the movie apart on Blu-ray. But I couldn't help but think that a young Seth Green would have done a better job in the lead role than Michael Cera.
I bet I can fix that for you.
Yes, I realized that this would require a time machine. Also, I picked up the new iPhone game, Love Battle Princess.
Love Battle Princess.
It's an action puzzle game with cheesy cheesecake anime-style pinup girls used as backgrounds. You tap to collect floating flowers and chains, no, not those kinds of chains, before they hit the bottom of the screen, hurting your princess. And there are skulls that bop around trying to cause you problems as well. If you power up sufficiently, you unlock your princess's, special move.
Trust me, I'm a medic.
The gameplay is solid, though you might not be inclined to play it in public, if you're concerned about people judging you for having scantily clad cartoon characters on your phone.
Oops, sorry. It's okay, sweetheart. I can fix you.
You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seems particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torture match in your inventory.
DLC highlights.
New WiiWare games include Monsters vs. Robots and Space Trek. For DSi, you can get 3D Mahjong, Divergent Shift, Just Sing, National Anthems, and My Notebook Carbon.
The PlayStation 3 store has Top Gun, a game based on the 80s Tom Cruise military recruitment film, and demos for Hawks 2 and Joe Danger. Both PS3 and Xbox 360 gamers can get the NHL 11 demo and a Skate 3 expansion.
Xbox 360 Marketplace also has Lara Croft and The Guardian of Light, Andrew Lloyd Webber music for Lips, no, seriously, and some weirder than usual sounding indie games including Avatar Zombie Massager Extreme, Protect Zoe from the Zombies, and a Japanese title that translates roughly to Remains a Mystery Monster and Hero.
As usual, more complete listings of the past week's DLC can be found at busygamernews.com.
On Twitter, we encourage you to follow Game Watcher and Girl Got Game. That's GRRL Got Game. We often tweet news that isn't big enough to deserve an entry on the site or has a very limited shelf life. We also have a BGN community Twitter list. If you're not on it and want to be, send Game Watcher an at reply.
We also encourage you to join the Busy Gamers Facebook group and our Busy Gamer News Facebook fan page.
If you use Stitcher Radio, search for Busy Gamer and favorite us there. And if you enjoy the podcast, please like us there too. You can actually do this each week that you listen.
Also, we'd love it if you rate and review us on iTunes. This week, it could help you win one or more cool posters.
Some of the music in this podcast came from Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com. You can find details and links for these and other songs at busygamernews.com. Whack Podcast.
I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now. Right now.
I still have this ever so slight fear that I'm going to start sweating at PAX. And writ dye and makeup is going to come flowing down my body. But hopefully not.